I was very excited when I got back home, and the Holy Spirit started ministering revelation to me. And I'm going to give an overview today, and then probably in the ensuing weeks go into detail on the various elements. But I'd like you to turn to Ecclesiastes 3:15. Ecclesiastes 3:15 says, "That which hath been is now, and that which is to be hath already been. And God requires that which is past." That which has been is now. That which is to be hath already been, and God requires that which is past. And just for context's sake, verse 1 says, "To everything there is a season and a time to every purpose under heaven." God is a God of purpose. Everything he does is out of his purpose, which, you know, would lead us to understand that to be in his will, you have to first acknowledge what is he purposing to do. And then the specific instruction to your life can begin to come. But God had a purpose and plan in creation. It's revealed from Genesis to Revelation. And there's a time relative to purpose. When you live in purpose, it changes your perspective about time. You are watchful for the use of time. Sometimes people know the will of God or something he wants to do, but where they really miss it is in timing. Timing is essential relative to purpose. You need to teach kids that, where there's a time for different things, and a lot of times kids want to get ahead of their time. You know, and some even, they grow up like that. I remember there was a girl when years ago, and Donna, I'd say, well, she's 5 going on 15. And you have some who are like 15 going on 25. You know, like they're ahead of themselves. And part of that's how you're raised, possibly. But they have to learn. You focus on what you need to do now in your time. It's not time for this. See, that's where people err, young people, with dating and that. It's not, if it's time to you get married, well, then don't get emotionally involved with anybody. And that's really the understanding, to create it real simple, not to make it like a legalism, but it's like, do you think it's time for you to be married and are 16? And I say, well, no. Well, then why would you do the dating thing, which is going to lead to that? An emotional involvement would lead to that. Just wait. And God's timing's different with different people. Some may be younger, some may be older. That has to be recognized and a born witness to. So God operates according to purpose, and that will influence your use of time. Now, down at verse 10... 11, you say, make everything beautiful in its time. Or, in other words, there's a time of blossoming, a time of fruitfulness, and that brings glory to God. And it says here that in its time, he set the world in her heart so that no man can find out the work God makes from the beginning to the end. And the word eternity there, it actually means there's a span of time. You have a life span, and it would be whatever, how many years. The determining factor of your life span is the will of God. It's not like just, well, I'm going to do this. It's the will of God. Jesus was done at age 33. That doesn't mean your life can only go to 33. Paul, Peter, they didn't live a great length of years because the will of God was them to be martyred. So finding the will of God dictates and the purpose of God your whole life. So as I was like in the hospital and facing decisions that were life or death, I was pondering before the Lord, was my time up? And you really should live your life. You're always ready to meet the Lord today. Okay? That you can confidently, I know I'm in the will of God. I've done the will of God. And no regrets looking back or anything like that. And he was, ministering to me. Well, you have not fulfilled the visionary things or the purpose for your life yet. So when you have that established, that's a basis of faith to move forward and a basis for decisions you would make. Well, to function right now, I need to do this. It might not be ideal. I mean, I'm still believing God for healing with kidneys and all that. But the circumstance does not change the word of God. So I'm still believing the same. However, sometimes you have to do some things to function to be able to move forward. So anyway, it's like, well, no, there's my work's not done. It's like, okay, I'll submit to this and I'll commit to that and I'll believe for this. And that settled it then for me. But that's something you need to know by the Spirit. Because if you don't know that, you'll either react in fear, which I wasn't in any fear. I mean, just be honest with you. Because of approaching things this way, you either react in fear or you'll just do whatever a man says or you just give up. And, of course, those things, none of them are options for me. the will of God's not done yet. It's like, okay, I wasn't saying it was, but I need to keep my ears open to you. If it is, it is. So anyway, here in verse 11, There's a span of time for your life, and people have a sense of that. You can know that for yourself. You can have a sense of knowing what God has for you for your life. Once that's finished, why would you want to hang around here on earth anyway? It's only one reason, because you love this world more than God. Now, that could be a little whack in the back of the head, but if it is, well, then maybe you need to consider changing your thinking. Paul brought that out in the book of Philippians. Anyway, my time's not up. There's work to be done. That work involves you. And I'm more excited about that than ever. Oh, yeah, praise the Lord. So I'm sharing this for context's sake. My focus down at verse 15, but I want to mention this, that as I talk about the plan of God moving forward, what we need to know is what is our place and our part. You need to know that about yourself, not doing your own thing, not, well, I have my own ministry or whatever, but what's my place in the plan of God? With that comes, with whom am I called? Where do I submit myself? What is it I'm to do? And that you won't grasp the beginning to the end. God began something at creation, in the end of the book of Revelation, it'll be finished. And, you know, people will struggle many times understanding what's going on because they don't see it in light of the whole plan. And they could, now, as I say that, please understand, some things are the work of the enemy. Some things are the work of God. You have to know the difference. Some things are just the work of man. But we want to be dialed into the work of God, the plan of God, and for our life. Now, it goes on down at verse 12, like to focus on what's your, I'm putting it in my own words here, your part, rejoice in that, be content in that, in what he has for you to do. And, you know, don't let yourself get over involved with what's everybody else doing or whatever. I'm not in competition with any other church or ministry. We're on the same team. I still marvel how what the disciples operated in. Who's the greatest? How much that's still in the body of Christ? And if you don't die to your flesh, it's there, and there's like this competitive spirit, and it's actually evil, very carnal. So. Well, anyway, let me get down here to verse 15. That which is has already been. That which is to be has already been. And what God revealed to me this week was that the pattern moving forward to the end of the book of Revelation is a reverse from Abraham to Adam. It's the main events in reverse. That which is to be has already been. There is what had God had already done, what was happening from the beginning, it's going to end like that. So my message title is the beginning is the end. I don't usually even come up with real creative message titles, but I thought that was kind of creative because it says what I'm saying here. With Abraham was used of God to bring forth the birth of the nation of Israel, through whom would be the birth of the church, the birth of Jesus Christ, the firstborn among many brethren, who through his death, resurrection, ascension would bring forth the birth of the church. We've been in the church age now for 2,000 years. And moving up to the end, you have the church as the restraining force to the Antichrist spirit. When we're taken out, then there's nothing to restrain him. The prayer of the saints, the stand for righteousness, it's all a restraint on evil. Now, evil is abounding, but it's holding it back. It's not as bad as it could be. Okay, and so you have the church age, which, like with Abraham, God made a covenant with one man. With the church, he made a covenant through one man, Jesus, that all men could enter into covenant, whosoever would believe upon him, and thus partake of all the blessings of God, the kingdom of God. Step back, chapter 11, the Tower of Babel. Man determined at that point, we don't need God, we're going to build our own way to heaven. They built, you know, the edifice that they had. And God said, there's nothing that can be restrained from them or hindered from them because they're all speaking the same thing and believing the same. and it was anti-God. It was against him. And that's what's one of the things happening right now, where you the strong delusion 2 Thessalonians speaks of is that people at the end time coming into this place where they're thinking that they don't need God. It's all around us. I mean, you see it just fact people when you go to church, if you ask them, say, well, yeah, I believe. Well, do you really? Actions reflect believing. And anyway, it's just man can save himself. And that's part of the underpinning of the whole New Age religion, doctrine, movement. We don't need God. And you have all the evil increasing in our land and people, all the pundits scratching their head, why is this happening? Well, you remove the word of God, which was has been happening. You put a curse on yourself. Praise God, the Roe Wade thing was overturned that we don't have sanctioned murder. I believe that in itself is removing a curse off our nation. Now, people may still do it. They'll bring that curse on themselves or on their states. But it's not sanctioned murder ordained of the government, which our is supposed to be reflective of the will of the people. It's not necessarily, but that's how it was set up. So God moved to disrupt that, and that's where the language, you know, they're all given different languages and they couldn't communicate. Communication is essential to agreement, to unity, and that's like a message in itself. But God did that, and that's happening now as well. That's going to get worse, not better. And while the church is fulfilling her ministry, which at the very end, the preaching of the gospel become magnified to all nations. So then you backtrack it next is with Noah. And through Noah, God brought judgment on the earth. So, you know, we have this one world man without God thing going on. It's going to lead to judgment. And the book of Revelation brings these things out. However, within Noah, the ark was salvation to where there was one family left that had not defiled themselves. Noah and his family. One family left, but the salvation at the end will be for the nations. Now, you're going to notice the pattern here. In the beginning, it would be one. At the end, it's multitudes, the nations. So you have the salvation in the ark, which is a type of Jesus. And for those moving forward, as judgment's beginning to be poured out, the people of God are have salvation in him through Jesus. You backtrack to chapter 5, and you have Enoch. By faith, Enoch, please God, by faith, Enoch was translated. This Hebrews 11, 5 and 6 brings that clarity to what was spoken back in Genesis 5. And that is a reflection or picture of the rapture. Enoch, one man who pleased God by faith, was taken up. At the end, the church, who is a multitude of nations, will be taken up. Now, you can debate a lot of things about the rapture, but the pattern is there. So in backtracking, you have the rapture, and then tracking back a little further, you have Adam and Eve in the garden. You had Satan, who was cast down from heaven to earth. And at the end, Satan will be cast from the earth to hell. Praise God. The tormentor will be tormented. His influence will be completely removed. And then by the power of God will be a new heaven and a new earth, restoration of Eden. What was in the beginning, where there was a life without sin, all the provision of God right there. There was a man and a woman. But at the end in heaven, the nations from every nation of the earth, every tribe, every people group will be represented, a multitude in heaven where God has a family who knows him, who gained revelation and understanding of him while they were on this earth. And that they are together, we all with all of the brothers and sisters together in heaven, living for the worship of God. Now, I want to interject something here right now. You make sure you don't have any love walk sin. I'm not saying you're not going to heaven, but how can you? You have like unforgiveness and bitterness in heaven. Well, that can't be taken with you. Whether you hang on to it when you die or before you die or what have you, that hinders everything of heavenly blessing. And we have to be very, very purposed to stay in love. Be very focused. Judge yourself now, today. Don't walk out of this place with any attitudes towards anyone, but to know that your heart's pure towards everyone. Well, I struggle with this or that. Well, then you need to look at Jesus more and see his love. And that from the cross, he said, Father, forgive them. They know not what they do. Don't say you can't do that. That's a denial of the power of God. That's an excuse because you don't want to. We don't forgive in our own power and ability. There is a power from God to be able to do that, to release things. And it's by faith. It's not by emotion, feeling, or reasoning. Well, I'll forgive them if they apologize. Well, what if they don't apologize? You're going to keep yourself hindered from God to hang on to that? It's complete foolishness. So anyway, God's going to restore at the end a new heaven, a new earth, where there's no pain, no sorrow, no death. He's the light. He's our fruitfulness. He's our everything. Again, back Revelation 21, 22, we see the end. The beginning is the end. As it was in Eden, so will it be. That's your future, if you choose to pursue after that. If you pursue this world, you have less and less of that. And we either live for the something and moving in our future, or we're going to live for the present. If you don't live to please God and with an eye towards heaven, then you will, to the degree you don't have that, you will lay hold of worldly pleasure, and it will rule you to where it's going to choke out the word according to what Jesus taught in the parable of the sower. It'll choke the word out. There's so many Christians, the word's being choked in them, they don't even realize it. You know, our love for God should increase, not decrease. I'm not talking about emotions. I'm talking about the revelation, which love brings forth obedience. Obedience, you know, Jesus said, if you love me, you're going to keep my commandments. So we don't want to allow any deception in our life, but to know where we are and where we're going. And the more you are living in God's purpose, it dictates the whole time of your life, the time, every, what you're going to do. I hate wasting time. Now, you need to know your place in the plan and be purposed with that. It says here, and God requires that which is past. Those English words are not good translation. A require is a word which is a verb to seek with a pursuit. And that which is past is one word, which is to pursue. God's in pursuit of the fulfillment of his plan. Sometimes people say, oh, God, where are you? He's in pursuit of his plan. Where are you is the question. He doesn't leave us. We might leave him. But he's on the track of his plan and purpose. And the more we'll sanctify our life or commit our life to that, the more you're going to hear the voice of God. You know, sometimes people, they, well, oh, God, deliver me, change me. But they don't change their pursuit. So that a period of time passes, like, well, I'm not hearing from God. He didn't talk to me. Some even develop philosophies to justify that. Now, the Holy Spirit wants to lead and guide you. He wants to bring revelation to your heart. He wants to minister to your spirit. So God's in pursuit of this. And again, this is the big picture. The end is the beginning. The beginning, Genesis, is the end, Revelation. And that brings a perspective to everything you would hear concerning what we want to call end times. It's all right there. It's already been. Now, there's an expression used, history repeats itself. There's a truth in that. If something's not altered or changed, it will continue. But this is beyond that, that what God had in the beginning is where it's going to end up. And if the new heaven and new earth will be as Eden. Now, I want to make the point here that man tries to establish his own utopia. That's part of the underpinning of communism. And what they would teach is that, well, this whole collective thing without God will create utopia. And I sat with Ukrainian and Russian pastors, and they would laugh because they were indoctrinated in that as teenagers. And it was proven out to them to be a complete lie. And, you know, they reject that. But, you know, you can be here in the States and you try to create your own utopia with money, like a certain lifestyle, certain places of residence or vacationing and all of that. Like, this is utopia. Well, you can, if you have strife in your marriage, you can fight at the beach and in the mountains the same as in your hometown. It doesn't change any of that. And utopia is heaven. And that's our end, the end for us as believers. That's where we're heading towards. We want to live for him where we have the testimony of Jesus that would bring glory to God forever and ever. And we will be worshiping God and serving God forever and ever. So if you don't like doing that now, why would you want to go to heaven? Because that's what that's all about. Well, I don't like to worship too long. Well, you better learn to, because that's eternity. It's not you having some alternate utopia in heaven according to your thoughts. But it's the all the plan of God. And just as if someone's not present who's to be with you, like I'm aware of that, it bothers me in a way. Whether I speak to anyone or not, there's that element to heaven. There's an ordained people to be there that have gained the revelation and brought forth their testimony, whose lives bring glory to God forever and ever. And we should want the whole family, or look forward to the whole family being together. See, we're a church family, and I look forward to that. That's like a highlight for me in my life. That, it's all the more pronounced relative to heaven. And again, don't let any unforgiveness or bitterness in your life. I'm not saying you're not going to heaven, but who are you to say that couldn't keep you out? There's no place for that. There's no place for that. So anyway, the end is the life of worshiping God forever and ever. That is the utopia. That is where all the things you could ever want, fruitfulness, love, peace, joy, completely fulfilled. We have a measure of that today on earth. So Jesus said, pray the will of God be done on earth like it is in heaven. I want that which is of heaven while I'm here. And we can, part of partaking in that is the entering into worship, which